Congress is reacting favorably to a sweeping White House cybersecurity legislative proposal. The administration sent that proposal to Congress earlier this month. Yesterday, members of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee offered wide support for it. Chairman Joseph Lieberman called the administration's proposal a turning point for U.S. policy. The White House plan leaves cybersecurity for critical infrastructure in the hands of industry, but with federal oversight and reporting requirements. It makes Homeland Security the departmental lead on protection of federal civilian networks. More from reporter Jason Miller just ahead.
And Robert Gates's ideas for major Defense Department cuts could get an airing in a speech today at a think tank. One of the defense secretary's final tasks before retiring is to set the Pentagon on a budget-cutting course. Gates has said savings on a major scale, such as another $400 billion over the next 10 years, are not possible without slicing into military power.
Find these stories and more at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
Good Tuesday morning. Thanks for making the Federal Drive part of your day. Coming up this hour, a former budget official weighs in on how current debates over pay and benefits are affecting federal workers. And we'll hear from the BRAC coordinator for Arlington County, pushing Congressman Jim Moran for legislation delaying the move of 6,000 DOD workers to the Mark Center. These stories and much more coming up this hour of the Federal Drive.
But first, cybersecurity legislation is on a fast track, at least in the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid is setting up groups to negotiate over different aspects of the White House's proposed cyber bill. The White House proposal passed its first test yesterday before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us with details about the hearing. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
Okay, so good morning to you. How is cybersecurity legislation on a fast track to get passed, and what kind of time frame can federal agencies look for?
As we've talked about several times over the past year and more, there's a lot of interest on both sides of the aisle, specifically around cybersecurity. So I think the timing, the support, and the understanding, which is key, are all the right time at the right place. The fact is, this is mostly a non-controversial legislation, and it's one of the few things that many expect the Senate will actually take up this session. Senator Joseph Lieberman is the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and a co-sponsor of one of the major cyber bills in the Senate.
The Majority Leader, Senator Reid, has taken a very active interest in this legislation. It remains a priority of his for this session. I've said to him that I believe it's the most important piece of legislation coming out of our Homeland Security Committee in this session. He is working, I'm pleased to say, with the Republican leader, Senator McConnell. There are five or six different committees of the Senate that claim some part of the jurisdiction over this subject matter. And I believe it's the intention of the bipartisan leadership of the Senate to establish a process by which all those committees can, as quickly as possible, negotiate any remaining differences in the bills that have come out of committees.
That process are actually groups, Lieberman says, and they would actually negotiate the bills and the administration cyber proposal and all, each of the different parts, because there's a cybercrime part, there's the DHS and FISMA part, and then there's also the critical infrastructure part. So there's a whole bunch of different pieces that have to come into play. Now, Lieberman says there are things holding up those immediate negotiations, and the fact is the administration has to testify before many, if not of all, of these major committees of cyber oversight in the next week to 10 days. We're talking about as many as five more times that they're going to have to testify. For his committee's part, Senator Lieberman says the major differences in the bills that they introduced, they've been worked out with the other major bill from the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. So it feels good that at least two major hurdles are overcome there. Now, as far as the when, it's hard to say. One Senate source does tell me that the bill could get voted upon by the full Senate by July, so really before the August recess. So we're really in the short time frame.
So, Jason, what are some of the major sticking points that need to be addressed in the bills then?
Well, let's start off. There's a lot of similarities, and that actually pleases both Senator Lieberman and ranking member of the committee, Susan Collins. But obviously, there are several areas that both Lieberman and Collins say need some work. Collins says a major shortcoming comes from the administration's failure to update a 75-year-old law that details the president's role during an emergency.
This is an area where we should be thinking ahead about exactly what authorities we want the president to have rather than leaving it ambiguous, rather than relying on a 1934 law that allows the president to take over control of radio stations. This just doesn't make sense to me, and I hope you'll work further with us to carefully define what the authorities are and to update the law.
Now, the law she's talking about is the 1934 Communications Act, which actually lets the president, during times of national emergency, go into radio stations and take over radio stations, take over the equipment, the broadcasting ability, all the pieces that make up a radio station. I mean, Senator Collins said, could you imagine that happening now? The uproar that would happen across the country if the president decided to take over radio stations? I know we wouldn't be so excited. Phil Reitinger is the Deputy Undersecretary for the National Protection and Programs Director at the Homeland Security Department, and he actually signaled the administration is open to updating that 1934 law and better define the president's powers during an emergency. Collins made it clear that her committee's bill doesn't include an internet kill switch and provides only limited powers for a specific period of time. I mean, she was very, very clear about that. Another potential hurdle is around the liability for private sector companies as they share information, as they make sure that their risks are mitigated around critical infrastructure. Lieberman, Collins, and Senator Tom Carper, their bill gives companies some protections in terms of how they share information with the government about their vulnerabilities and threats they're facing. But a White House proposal gives less liability protections, and that's actually a fairly big issue. Lieberman says this issue has been split politically over the years.
And I think we've got to find a common ground on, or it could affect the ultimate passage of the bill. I hope not, because there's enough in the bill that everybody supports that if there's disagreement on that, I hope people could come back and try it again some other time. It's really important to get something done on cybersecurity this year.
Now, Reitinger says the administration also is open to discussing how to improve the liability protections in the bill. But one of the big areas that Reitinger didn't discuss around the need is whether there's a need for a Senate-confirmed cyber coordinator that would actually live in a new DHS office. The Lieberman's Collins-Carper bill includes one, but the White House proposal does not. And Collins actually called this difference into question.
I can't help but be struck by the irony that we have four different departments represented here today. And that is a very good thing, because it shows that the administration is working across departments. But it's ironic because, unlike our bill, the administration chose not to include in its bill an entity similar to the National Counterterrorism Center, which would bring together within DHS representatives of all of your agencies, as well as the Director of National Intelligence and other agencies. So we would institutionalize the kind of coordination and cooperation that you've described is occurring informally.
Now, Reitinger acknowledges that the White House proposal really is just the beginning. He said, listen, this is not a final bill. This is just our thoughts, our ideas. And there obviously there's a lot of negotiations that are going to be taking place over the next few months.
Now, Jason, there has been a lot of discussion about whether Homeland Security is ready to take on this expanded role. Did that come up at all yesterday?
It did, and that obviously has been a real concern over the past years. Reitinger says DHS has been staffing up over the past 3 years to address those challenges.
Going back into the prior administration, you know, at one point about 3 years ago, DHS had about 30 or 40 people working in cybersecurity. We're up to about 260 now, and we'll be growing towards 400 by the end of FY12. So we have built a significant team with significant capabilities that brings a lot to the table, some significant expertise, and can leverage other sources of expertise in government, including DOD, the Department of Commerce, and the Department of Justice. So the people piece that we have built, both across government and with the private sector and within DHS, is the thing that I am the most proud of, because I believe that organizations and entities succeed or fail based on the people.
Now, Reitinger says DHS has also been working very closely with the Defense Department to improve their cyber capabilities. The two agencies signed a memorandum of agreement about a year ago that's providing benefits now to both departments. Robert Butler is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Cyber Policy. He testified yesterday as well. And he says the two agencies are sharing expertise. They've created a joint program office at Fort Meade that's led by a Homeland Security official. they're sharing personnel to allow for better understanding of each other's capabilities and how best to really meet or satisfy information sharing requirements. They're also finding other areas where they can share capabilities and technology, specifically around intrusion detection and intrusion protection. Now, Butler says over the past year, there's really a new way of doing business between the two agencies when it comes to cybersecurity. Reitinger says DHS will develop people that will be deployed actually in NSA's, the National Security Agency's Technology Directorate. People in their Threat Operations Center at NSA will have full knowledge of really what's going on from a threat perspective. And then Cyber Command, which is the new DOD, obviously, cybersecurity center, and NSA will send people to the National Cybersecurity Communications Integration Center, which DHS just opened in the past year, so they can have that back and forth as well. Obviously, the other thing they do is they meet weekly and monthly to discuss different cyber issues. So there's a lot going on to try to really bring all the capabilities across the government to bear.
And Jason, this is Reitinger's last appearance before these lawmakers, isn't it?
Well, it's hard to say because he's supposed to testify, you know, as many as four more or five more times over the next few weeks, and his last day is June 3rd. So he may have one, maybe two more times. But, he got a lot of positive response. You know, we're sorry you're leaving. You've done a very good job. Thank you very much. You know, Senator Lieberman, Senator Collins, Senator Carper, we're all very, you know, sorry to see him go because of the person that he, you know, has the ability for him to bring cybersecurity to, in front of in a bigger way.